This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, all, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It's Friday, the 4th of June, 12:05, coming up to 12:06. As usual, I'm in the studio with...
Arvinia Braj.
And Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for about an hour. Today, we're looking at how tomorrow is World Environment Day. So we've got a topic we're going to be talking about relating to that. The question we've got over on Twitter is, what steps have you taken to become more eco-conscious or eco-friendly this year? So we'll be having a little bit of a chat about that. Let us know what steps you've taken. Get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram as well, at BFM Radio. And then we'll be talking about...
Then we are going to talk about how Malaysia might reach herd immunity by December.
And then we'll wrap up with how an app could help former COVID-19 patients stop and smell the roses.
Ooh. Right, so before we move on and start reading from this story that we've got a little bit later on, you two, what steps have you been taking to become more eco-conscious or eco-friendly this year? Who wants to go first?
I have 5,000 canvas bags. In all seriousness, I honestly do have... first of all, I have a lot of the tote bags or canvas bags.
Yeah.
So I'll take them. I always have at least one in my work bag, if not two. And I try to, whenever I go and get groceries, I try my hardest not to use plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, the canvas bags are like a huge thing. They're like shoved in the, you know, the pockets behind the seats in your car. So mm-hmm. they're like always a few for me to use.
Yep.
I think I've spoken about this before. There's a place where I go to like tapau, my like teh tarik and stuff, and they make like good nasi lemak. The problem is they always give you a lot of plastic. So like plastic bags, and then they give you plastic straws, and then they give you like all sorts of plastic. So my way around that was to just bring my own bags and go like, can you just give me the thing with the drink and the food and none of the other sides?
Yeah.
So just tiny things like that, you know?
And they've been okay with that?
They've been okay with that.
I'm in the same boat. I literally have a cupboard full of tote bags.
Mm.
And before that, that was the place that I stored the plastic bags, which were then used a while ago to get rid of trash for a while.
Yeah.
Then we moved on to like looking at those recyclable plastic bags that seem to be, you know which ones are, really thin ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we started using them a while ago. They've all pretty much gone. We're composting our vegetable matter.
Nice.
The plastic stuff that we get from a lot of the delivery services is washed, sanitized and stored, so we can use that for when we need to like give out food to the neighbors or anything like that. Yeah, a few steps. No straws, of course.
No straws.
Cut down meat consumption. And I've started growing food at home.
Have you also started like reusing your plastics and, you know, your bread bags and stuff?
Everything that can be reused is being reused.
Just to like throw stuff in and dispose, like, you know, when you chop vegetables and like the ends of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also have like tiffin carriers in my in the car. So I have like a little box in the car that has like little tiffin carriers. And then if I ever do takeaway, I can be like, here you go.
Yeah,
that works.
And I was really guilty for the longest time of when I bought laundry detergent of buying the big bottles, and now I buy the refill kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not much, but it's a step. But anyway, those are some of the steps we've been taking. I think we should give ourselves a small little round of applause. Well done, guys.
Tiny steps.
Just little baby steps. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, for these kind of things, you can't just stop and do everything. You know, you have to take a few little steps. And some of the steps that you could take, of course, is other stuff. So let's talk a little bit about this year's theme for World Environment Day. It's ecosystem restoration, and it will see the launch of the UN Decade on Ecosystem Restoration. And there are many ways we can all contribute to ecosystem recovery, whether it involves planting trees, changing diets, cleaning water bodies, reducing waste, supporting wildlife conservation, and so on. So there are many challenges to these efforts as Malaysia faces yet another strict movement control order, not as strict as perhaps we'd like it to be, but there you go. Still, there's always space to adopt more sustainable habits in our lives, and this is according to a lot of conservationists and environmentalists. Now, here's a few ways that we can play our part during the lockdown. Go virtual. We've all been doing this anyway, so it shouldn't be too difficult. So the various COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns that have taken place globally over more than a year have reshaped the way environmental groups are restoring ecosystems. This is according to Evelyn Tay from environmental NGO Jeringan Ecology Dan Iklim, or JEDI as they call themselves. Right. So she says the lockdown has indeed proved to be a real challenge when conservation groups abided by the necessary needs to stay in. Illegal logging, poaching, hill clearing and dumping of pollution and waste continued unabated. So environmental groups must redefine the way they mobilize, as increasingly battles are fought on the ground as well as in virtual space. The public can use virtual space to show solidarity, lend their voices to call out illegal practices, and pressure the authorities to take stricter measures to clamp down on these activities. She explains that this could be done in the form of a petition or sharing posts from environmental groups on social media platforms to raise awareness and amplify that message. Now, they don't always work. They don't always have a huge degree of success, but most of these battles are ongoing, and it helps to increase public awareness and education on these environmental issues. Another thing the public can do to help restore ecosystems is to buy locally grown produce as far as possible. By buying local, we shorten the supply chain, which reduces emissions of greenhouse gases that contribute to climate change, of course. Now, you can also speak up for sustainability, which is something we've been doing the entire week. We've had our sustainable superheroes all week, if you've been tuning in for that. Now, if you work for a company, probably the best thing you can do is to try and convince senior management to financially support projects that are trying to restore ecosystems. Mm-hmm. These projects are often run by NGOs, so directly donating to and supporting such NGOs that are actively involved in implementing these projects is also a good way that members of the public can contribute to ecosystem restorations. And if you get the chance to go out and to help revitalize forests, one crucial step that we need to address soon is preserving our jungles, as this also means preserving declining biodiversity. We need to identify where there are deteriorating forest reserves, including mangroves that protect coastal areas and habitats for marine life. Deteriorating forest reserves must not be degazetted, but need to be restored and brought back to their natural conditions. Arv, I know you're an avid hiker as well. You were before we were locked down once again. What's it, you know, when you go hiking out there, do you see a lot of this out there?
Out there, no. So the hiking trails we normally go to, I think, I don't know, but I think they are protected. So I don't think they can do a lot of like development right. in those areas. But I know that there were a couple of hiking trails and even parks that were sort of like, that were going to be taken down for development. And there was a lot of pushback. So a lot of people have like gone against it and pushed back against the decision, saying that we need to preserve some amount of like our parks and greenery around the city. It can be like an urban site, but you need to have your green spaces.
Speaking of green spaces, I remember the place that you actually moved into.
Yep.
And part of the reason you moved into is because when you opened your window, it was very green. That wasn't
That didn't stick. So we went when we went to see the place, it was like perfect view, everything was green. There was like small development happening on the edge of it, but they said that would be it and it wouldn't move past that. But then when we finally moved in like 3 months later, that whole section of forest was taken down and they're building a reservoir or a dam or something's going on there. But that whole place has been completely stripped. So you have like forest on the left and forest on the right, but then directly in front of you, it's just... it's just brown.
All right. That's some of our stories. And of course, we'd like to hear from you guys. What steps have you taken to become more eco-conscious and eco-friendly this year? Do let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Now, we'll not just be hearing from us. We'll also be hearing from Claire Sansalot. She is the founder and CEO of the Hive Bulk Foods, of course. They are Malaysia's largest zero-waste chain of stores. We'll be hearing a little bit from her and some of her steps that you can take to make yourself just a little bit more sustainable. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have a short break from and some music from Led Zeppelin with Celebration Day here on BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury with...
Arvinia Braj.
And Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for another 45 minutes or so. We're talking about what steps have you taken to become more eco-conscious or eco-friendly this year? Of course, this is in line with World Environment Day that is happening, in fact, tomorrow. We asked you that question. We've got a few responses. Where do we want to go first? Chris, let's go over to you over on Instagram.
On Instagram, we've got a Chris2FJSL who says, almost no beef diet and no takeout unless with my own containers. Very good. And Natashinka has started to compost.
Oh, good. Good yes. stuff. Yes. Very yes. Good. Yes. Well, well done. Arvin, have you got anything you want to share?
Nothing on Twitter, no.
Oh, well, these people, I don't know what's happening then. I mean, we're supposed to be in a full lockdown. Maybe they're not sat at home like they should be. I don't know. You guys, what are you doing? Get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, of course, at BFM Radio. Now, we did manage to get in touch with somebody about this, and we spoke with Claire Sansalot. She is the founder and CEO of the Hive Bulk Foods. They are Malaysia's largest zero-waste chain of stores. A while ago, she tested the waters on a Facebook page, Zero Waste KL, and she noticed its growth with like-minded people who are on a quest to also share their zero-waste efforts and tips. She started small. And when she says small and she says we, she meant just her, myself and her. They did it for 2 years, didn't really have a whole bunch of customers. But her main ethos for her business is to source and provide ethically produced foods, tools and products. But most importantly, she believes it's important to continuously educate people on how to be less wasteful through her composting programs, her workshops and her talks. And she also managed to get an award from the United Nations for her contributions towards sustainability and promoting zero waste in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Now, she's a firm believer that climate change is the biggest threat to humanity today, but we thought we'd ask her some simpler questions. Claire, what are some of the easiest steps the public can take towards sustainability?
This is actually quite easy. You just have to remember to refuse, reduce, reuse. And if possible, composting. Those are simple ways to really remove most of the trash. And if you compost, obviously to all your vegetable peels and fruit peels to transform them into extremely good soil. I mean, you have to think, do I want to put this trash in my house? Is there a way to replace it by this plastic bag, a paper bag or something like that? Like you bring your tumblers, you bring your shopping bag, you bring your straws with you. You always have, you know, those mesh bags to get your vegetables or your fruits at the supermarket. So that's a great way. Those are great tools to refuse. Now, what is as well very important to lower our carbon emission is to reduce our meat consumption. So I find that now in Malaysia, you have more and more vegetarian options, which are actually, they don't even say it's vegetarian. They're just there and they're beautiful. They're full of plant-based protein. So I find that's an amazing way to lower immediately your carbon emission just by going for a plant-based diet. But you don't have to go cold turkey. You just go slowly. You move slowly to this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Claire, is it more expensive for businesses to adopt sustainable practices?
It depends. You have very simple practices you can adopt right away for businesses, which is telling their staff to not bring takeout, you know, containers in the office at lunchtime, or all those drinks, disposable, cups and lids. Just have the employees to take their reusable containers for the takeout, as well as their reusable, drinks, cups. I mean, so those are easy to reuse and those are simple measures to put. Now, the pantry could have a lot of Hive products, for instance, where you can have a lot of nuts, dried foods. Those are a bit more expensive, but they're much healthier as well. So it's a good option for the employees. Now, you have obviously more expensive. The thing is, in Malaysia, commodities are very cheap, very affordable. Like electricity is too cheap, unfortunately. So it's a lot of, if you want to put renewable energy panels on the rooftop, those are quite expensive as a fixed cost and it will take a long time to get your ROI. If we were living in a country where commodities were more expensive, I think the ROI will be much faster. So that's a bit harder to implement unless you're a company who do not care about the cost.
Right. And finally, Claire, how has the pandemic affected the sustainability movement?
Well, two things. First, the environment and sustainability was a top priority pre-pandemic. Unfortunately, and obviously at the same time, during pandemic, health, financial security, and of course, I mean, security as well. Physical security is a priority. So the environment comes later. It's not such a, it's still a priority, but first people need to survive, to stay alive, and to survive financially. So those are the two priorities right now. And I totally understand it. So sustainability comes a little bit later. It's, again, not a priority anymore, which is a shame because it is a priority. So that's where we are now. So we will need to rebuild once the pandemic is over.
Thank you very much. That was Claire Sansalot, the founder and CEO of The Hive Bulk Foods, speaking to us about some of the ways we can move towards sustainability here in Malaysia. If you'd like to get in touch and give us your tips, perhaps, or some of the things that you've tried, let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. They're both at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break with some music from Blondie, and then when we come back, we'll have an update from Bursa at break, and then get to some of your messages in just a few moments. You're tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.